Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
So our topic today is Jesus, our helper. Say, Jesus is my helper. Let's go to our first scripture. John, Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7 reads, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, this is the Advent season. Spoke about this a couple weeks ago. In Advent, in light of Jesus coming into this world, we should change our thinking. We should think less as the present world would have us to think, and we should shape our thinking around the promise and the power of Christ our Savior and Redeemer. So then, you know, we're influenced a lot by the news cycles and the people talking, the chatter, the gossip, the conspiracies and all that, But think about this. Jesus came to do something. What did he come to do? He came to save, to redeem, to change us, to make us a blessing and a light to this world. Is that true? And I want you to think about this, that Jesus came to leave. He came to depart because he said, if I don't leave, I cannot send another helper to you. So even though Jesus Christ was effective and powerful in the earth, as he walked the earth after he was born and raised and all that, Jesus was still one man, God-man, in one place at one time. Wherever Jesus was, that's the only place. Now, God's presence was everywhere, but the person of Christ was in one place, Capernaum or wherever, Bethel. He was there, and people gathered. He ministered, but he knew that God's plan was for him to be offered up as a Lamb of God, become our Savior, be buried, rise again, ascend to heaven, and send back the Holy Spirit, who would inhabit and indwell all believers everywhere, and therefore Christ would be in us everywhere. Wherever you are, Christ is. Right? That's God's plan. So by the Holy Spirit, Jesus came, he was born to die, born to depart. Next points here are this. Jesus was born to help and save. Say that. Jesus was born to help and save. The next part, read together, please. He came to depart for a greater purpose. And last point, he sent the great helper, the Holy Spirit. So again, this is the Advent, Christmas season. We focus on his birth, but why was he born? He was born to help and save. He came to depart for a greater purpose. And then he said, I will send you another helper. He didn't say, I'll just send a helper. I'll send another helper. Another. You have two helpers. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Not a replacement, but another. One in heaven, one on earth. And so this is great because we need help. I don't know about you. I need help. I can't speak for you. Maybe you're too proud to admit it. I'm not too proud to say I need help. Amen. And so that Jesus then made arrangements for us to be helped. Now watch these points. The helper who Jesus promised is not like most help that is limited and fails to empower. So then the help we receive from every place else, thank God for it. Medical professionals, friends, family, teachers, doctors, everybody. You know, it's limited. People can only offer limited help. And sometimes it fails to empower. We'll come back to that point. Next here is people tend to overrate their ability to help us. People overrate what they can do. And then people also tend to underrate what God can do. And so that whatever, well, this is powerful, whatever fails to empower people too often enables them. We're going to dive deep on this one here. Whatever fails to empower people, empower means to give power, to give ability, to help someone do what they could not do before. Jesus came to empower, not to prop up, but to empower. In granddad's church, we had a saying. We always would say stuff like, you know, not in a bad spirit, but in a good spirit. You know, God wants to prop us up on every leaning side. We used to say that in the old church. Prop you up on every leaning side. Well, it sounds nice, but we're past being propped up, right? God wants to empower you to stand up. Now, thank God for a prop. You know, Ella Owens is propped up today. I got to go there. He got one crutch, not two, just one. Came one. He didn't bring the other one, you know what I'm saying? He brought one. He didn't want that one, you know. I know, but he got one. So thank God for being propped up. But the objective is to be empowered to stand up. So people overrate what they can do and underrate what God can do. That's why Jesus sent a helper to remind us of what God can do. All right, that's my assignment today. Remind us what God can and will do. Now, let's talk about enabling. So don't get helping and enabling twisted. Now, enable has two meanings, one good, one bad. Enable in a good way just means to help somebody. But enable in the other sense is what we define here. An enabler is a person who by their actions make it easier for another person to continue their non-productive and self-destructive behavior. So that's the bad part of enable. And we've all been a part of that. People, we're trying to, quote unquote, help somebody. And all we're doing, making it easier for them to continue in their non-productive or self-destructive behavior. Think about it. We've done that. Maybe not aware of it. Be aware of it. Because helping and enabling are not the same thing. When you help somebody, at some point, you leave them alone. At some point. I don't mean forget about them, neglect them, disrespect. No. I'm saying that at some point, if they are able to do something and won't do it, and you keep helping them do what they can do but refuse to do, now you are an enabler. Now, listen, y'all, if somebody is poor and elderly, you know what I'm talking about, there are folk we help all the time. That's not enabling. But when somebody can do something and just won't do it, and they just, you know, they just won't, and there you are, propping them up on every leaning side. All right, don't get it twisted. You got to picture that. We understand that term. I think we do. Because the Holy Spirit is not an enabler. The Holy Spirit comes to empower. And then he indwells us to empower people. Amen? We helped people yesterday, right? We fed people, gave gifts, gave clothes, you know, gave some money to somebody. We helped somebody get here, gave somebody some gas money, drove somebody home, all that. We do stuff like that. And we'll keep doing it. But now my wife told me that someone yesterday, we gave the person, you know, gifts and food. This person wanted more stuff. Can I have the rest of those gifts? No. Can I have the rest of the food back there? No. Now you know the old school is, all they can say is no. We help people, but don't cross over into enabling. please, because that's Holy Spirit is not, he is not enabled that way. All right, watch this. So Jesus refused to enable. Jesus refused to be an enabler. After feeding the multitudes, look at what Jesus said to the people when they came back the next day. Look here, John 6:24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, now again, he had fed them and came back the next day, he was gone. Jesus Christ was gone. He wasn't going to feed people every day like that. That wasn't the plan. Fish and loaves, miracles of fish every day, that was not his plan. He says, nor his disciples. They, the people, got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, now get a picture of this now. Them folks took off work. They left the kids by themselves. You know what I'm saying? They got in boat and they crossed over a small sea looking for Jesus. And they found him. Verse 25. And when they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How long have you been here? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You come in here for some more of that food. Because you know good and well, if they gave Jesus stale bread and stinky fish, when he got through that fish and bread, it was the best bread they ever had. The miracle included not just more stale bread. It was bread that's probably warm, and I don't know that. But it was a better bread than what they gave him. And the fish wasn't no dry, stinky fish after the miracle. That food was so good. Them folk got in the boats, stole some boats, borrowed a boat. I don't know what they did. And look, y'all, Jesus didn't go around the corner. He went over the sea. He made it hard. And them folk came over there looking for the food. They weren't seeking Jesus to follow him, to submit their lives to him, to hear teaching. They went to get some more food. And had Jesus gave them more food, that would have been enabling. Right? So he said to them, because you ate the loaves, you came because you ate loaves and were filled. Watch this. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Yes, he planned to feed the people. Feeding was his objective. But not just feeding them natural food, but to send a message. That's what we do as churches. We'll feed people for feeding's sake. But the larger purpose is we're feeding you. Let's talk to you how you can be fed and feed yourself on the word, find keys to success, provision, connections to bigger help. I mean, get the big picture here. And so Jesus said that. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Watch this. But for the food which endures to everlasting life. And that's not food you can eat physically. He talks about two kinds of foods. The food you can eat and the food you live on that goes into your heart, your mind, your spirit. Got that? Which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal on him. There it is. So the points here are Jesus does not come to enable people. He comes to empower people. Say that. Jesus did not come to enable people. Jesus came to empower people. And that's what we do. That is our mission. That's our work as a church. All we've done in all these years is to empower people. Everything, the teaching, the trainings, the media camps, the health fairs, everything, the counseling, the teaching, the books, everything is to empower people through the Holy Spirit. And of course, there's the help The help, of course, is there, but the help is a launching pad into empowerment. Amen, somebody? All right. So the Holy Spirit then is our helper. Now watch this. So Jesus offered, in this next text, he offered forgiveness and empowerment to a person who was caught in adultery. Watch this. Now, the religious people, they said, Jesus Christ, said, Jesus, we have caught this woman in the very act of adultery. We got her cold. Now, there's time out here. Let's think about that for a minute. How do you catch somebody in the act of adultery? Either you're a peeping Tom, or you're doing it yourself. It ain't no spiritual discernment. Not from those kind of people. So this is how religion is. Religion is so hypocritical. Even to the point where it accuses somebody of something, it is doing itself. You accuse a person of doing what you're actually doing. That's why when they caught her and dragged her up in there, Jesus Christ, he just wrote something in the ground. I'm asked, listen, I get to heaven, I got a long list of things, you know. But one list, Jesus, what did you write in the ground? I want to find out. I don't know. But it may have been, I don't know, their names. You know, yeah, I saw you, and I saw you with her. You were the one did that. And he wrote something. I don't know what he did. All I know is when they saw the writing, they all walked out. They all left. The accusers slinked out of there. They just backed up. Well, I got to go now. They left. And so the Bible says this, John 8, verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That last part, that's the part of the empowerment. Because he didn't just say, you know, I forgive you. He said, I forgive you, and the instruction is, go and sin no more. Now, even though it was a statement he made, because he said it, she could have faith in that. She could believe the person. He called her. Listen, she said, no one, Lord. See, she called him Lord. She had begun to recognize who she's dealing with. And so the fact is, when she got caught in this thing, and the Pharisee, whoever was with her, they all got caught, she was the one who stood there and let Jesus say to her, I forgive you, but listen to me. Go away. Go leave here, but don't sin anymore. And I give you power not to do that again. You get that? So Jesus helped people. He helped everybody. He helped people in all types of situations, all type of conditions. I mean, I can pass a microphone around here right now, and you can all tell us how Jesus helped you. Titus, how's your back? Oh, is it good now? Why is it better? Jesus? Good therapy? A-team? All together, right? Your wife, amen? Jovi helped out some kind of way? I mean, listen, we know that God uses a lot of things. But at the top of all the help is God himself. At the pinnacle of the help pyramid is God. Everything below it, he's used to help us, see? So then we don't make the mistake of just going away and acting like, I got it. No, we don't got it. Not without help from God. And even if he doesn't, listen, all the help doesn't come with God's label on it. I understand that. We get that. But then we give God the glory for all the things, all the good things that come. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. That's for people who are believers and unbelievers. Every good and perfect gift. Even before I knew Christ, I was receiving all kind of good and perfect gifts from God. I didn't know God was helping me like that. I had no idea. until I became aware of it, until circumstances proved to me. I mean, how many, until I walked away from the third car accident and the car was told I'm walking away from it, like, maybe God is helping me, you know? Because, you know, you don't walk away from accidents. I mean, old school cars, no airbags, no seatbelts. It was so crazy back when I was a kid. If you wore a seatbelt, folk were like, what's wrong with you? You got a seatbelt on. You weak. What's wrong with you? And they passed a seatbelt law. They gave us an excuse. Well, I got to wear it. I got to wear it now. They say I got to wear it. That's how we were back then, y'all. It sounds crazy now, but you were actually, they made fun of you for wearing a seatbelt. So thank God for a seatbelt law. Gave us all an excuse to put one on. Again, even in that, I see God helping. Anti-lock brakes. You don't know about that. In the old days, we drove cars, big old land yachts. Land yacht. Big old giant thing. Rear wheel drive. You pump the brake. Pump, pump, pump. You were the anti-lock. If you mash the brake, lock it up, car goes spinning. And now the car you got now, you mash the brake, it's stopping, it's hitting, releasing automatically. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? The car is saving your life. Saving your life. But in my book, at the top of all that help and technology, I see God. I choose to glorify God for all the help I receive through technology, through training, through wisdom, whatever. All right, watch this. So Jesus sent the helper. Again, we have this picture of him born in a manger, but Jesus sent the helper. Say, Jesus sent my help. So watch this, John 14, 23. So Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, or comforter, talked about that 2 weeks ago, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So this is what he taught the disciples and teaching us here now that he's born, died, buried, rose again, sent back the Holy Spirit. So now here we are empowered by God's Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, so I want you to be aware of this because he said there's two things that he would do. And the two things the Holy Spirit does are this. Number one, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Say all things. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll hear a voice. But I'm sure it means that by whatever means we need to know it, we're going to know it. If we are prayerful people, people in the Word, you know, just living lives of Christ, it's amazing. God will open your mind up to know things. Open your heart up to perceive things. Open doors for you in your circumstances. Amen. Connect you with the right sources, with the right people. He will teach. Say, Lord, thank you. Your Spirit will teach me all things. Not saying that you'll hear a voice. By whatever means God chooses, he'll teach you all things. And then second, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what Jesus said. That's why we read the Word of God, the Gospels, the Bible, because if you don't read the Word of God, how will you know what Jesus said? How can it remind you of something you've never learned? That's the function of us, you know, going to school, having those tests, exams, those things. We want to see, you know, can we help you recall what you heard taught? The whole objective, you know, to education is to train, to teach, and then we call it transfer of education or transfer of learning is when you do what you learn. Now we know you've learned it when you do it. So then how can we do it if we don't can't be reminded of what was said? Right. So then as we spend time with God in the Word and all these things, it's amazing what God brings up. I mean, to me, it's a marvelous thing because at this point in my life, there's almost nothing that happens for which God does not give me insight about. Scripture insight, something Jesus said, something I learned, you know, I mean, things scriptural and even things natural. It's amazing. And it's not just my brain. Only, of course, God uses my mind, my heart, but it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I know, is helping me remember, reminding me of things, teaching me and showing me things, getting solutions where I could not see how this could be done. And it's become such a thing I depend on now until when I don't know something, I just get still. I go quiet. I just sit there and pray and wait till I know something. I may do some research. I may ask some questions of people I think could help. I do all that too. But I'm not going to try to figure it out all by myself. I'm going to get some help. I want some help. Amen. I thank God for the helper. So I got two helpers. I got Jesus on the throne in heaven and the Holy Spirit in my heart. If I can't get help that way, whatever people talk about, I don't want it. If he doesn't clear it, if heaven doesn't clear it, my heart don't clear it, I'm not going for it. But if you don't know Jesus or don't walk with him, all you got is what people say and their conspiracies. And folk entertain stuff like maybe the earth is flat. Maybe coronavirus was a conspiracy. All them dead people died for nothing. You know, they died. I mean, so it's crazy. When we don't have the Spirit of Truth helping us, I don't know how people get through life. And the sad part is they don't. Literally do not get through life sometimes. All right, let me finish up here. So then thank God the Holy Spirit will teach us. And he also remind us of what Jesus said. Here's my final points for today. John 14:16. So Jesus said, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's the text upon which we make the statement, we have two helpers. Because the literal word there, Greek word for helper is parakletos. We defined it 2 weeks ago, but part of it also is it's another like the one you have. It's not a replacement helper. It's another helper. It's like someone there for you who brings somebody else with them. Not to replace them, but to duplicate and replicate their abilities. So say, I have a helper in heaven and a helper in my heart. That's good, isn't it? Jesus and the Holy Spirit are partners in helping us. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are partners in helping us. So reflecting on why Jesus came, the birth, the whole Christmas story, all the marvelous narratives around that story, the end of the story is that Jesus was born to die. He was born to die, to be buried, to rise from the dead, and to depart. But then to send back to us the Holy Spirit, the helper. Book of Acts tells that story. And so now all the believers everywhere have this opportunity to live in the power and the grace of God's Holy Spirit. But we must pay attention. Paul said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That is, don't insult God. Don't do stuff like the Spirit of God, like, you know, he's not here. Like, nobody loves me. God loves you. Nobody's, I'm all alone. Well, I know what you mean by that, lonely. I get that. But really, truly, you aren't alone. Don't insult the Holy Spirit. Like, oh, excuse me, I'm not here. He won't say that. But, you know, that's, think of it. You know, nobody cares. I have no one to talk to. I know what you mean by that. I mean, we do have loneliness in, you know, interpersonal. I get that. But in an ultimate sense, you are not alone. You are never alone. Never alone. So don't buy that lie. Because the Bible also says in Proverbs, it says, a man who isolates himself rages against all wise judgment. Proverbs 18, verse 1. And the sense of it is, self-isolation gives you an excuse to think crazy things, do crazy stuff, on the excuse that I'm all alone, woe is me. So don't buy that. Say, Lord, thank you. I have two helpers. One in heaven and one in my heart. All right, give God some praise. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for your blessing and your favor and your goodness and the help that this Christmas story, we understand it in the fullness of its purpose. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. We also celebrate the purpose for which he came. And we thank you that Jesus established a kingdom. He established a system, established a whole foundation upon which we can live our lives and be encouraged and stay encouraged and then be empowered to help others. Lord, not to enable, but to empower. And I thank you, Father God, that you've helped us this year to experience and live in those principles and walk those things out. Thank you, Father God, for all the grace you've shown, Lord, to our church family, to all our servants, servant leaders. Thank you, Lord, just for all the ways in which we serve in front and behind the scenes. However we serve, Lord, you see us. Thank you for the helper from heaven and helper in our heart, your Spirit. Jesus in heaven and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord God, that encourages us right there. That knowledge right there, Lord, gives us encouragement and empowerment.